Amen, amen. It is with great joy that I come to you this morning, once again, having the opportunity to share the Word of God with you, the Word of God that we ought to dwell richly upon, as Colossians 3:16 is my anthem forever as far as a worship leader and even as a preacher. So this morning, I get to preach the Word versus sing the Word to entire Real Life Community Church, and I'm excited to do that. I am humbled as well. My name is Abraham, as Pastor Dave mentioned. Just want to welcome every visitor, every member that's been here with Real Life. Want to welcome my co-laborer, my workers that are with me visiting today. It humbles me to have people come and join and hear the good news and the message of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to read off of Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to grab your Bibles, you can open your Bible or your Bible app to Matthew, the Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. So I'll let you prepare that, turn your Bibles or get your Bible app out, and we're going to have it displayed on the screen as I read it to you and over you. So the visit of the wise men, chapter 2 starts, and it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet,'" verse 6, "'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring the word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they departed to their own country by another way." Let us pray. Lord, that is your word that we sit upon and rest upon. That is your word that calls us out, that calls us for reproof, that calls us for correction. That is the word that equips us and that is God-breathed. And so we believe that, Lord. And so as we read your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would penetrate the hearts and the minds of each person that's here this morning. Lord, may our minds be fixated on who you are, what you've done, and Lord, may we respond and rejoice exceedingly with great joy. While we each find ourselves in different seasons, may we be able to find true joy that is the everlasting joy, that is unspeakable joy, and may we walk out of here this morning knowing who you are and what you've done, and given the opportunity to respond to the greatest news, not the greatest advice, but the greatest news of all time. And so just take a minute, church, just right where you're at, and just ask the Spirit of God just to speak to you today, and whatever else you want to ask from him, to draw your attention to him. You do that. May you do that as your people have requested in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I got these little pieces here of the nativity story that was left in the back of the green room. And Mrs. Edema is probably like, I was looking for these things. I don't know if you put these away already or not. How many of you guys have put your Christmas tree away by a show of hands? Wow, everybody has their Christmas tree. Oh, you got one. Nice, Albert. Nice, love it. Okay, we got another person over there. So we still have our Christmas trees up. We still have we ourselves got a nativity scene gifted to us. And I've been surprised this past week as I learned that I'll be talking about the three wise men, okay? I don't know if you've heard the story of the three wise men. They're also considered the Magi's. We are in a season of Epiphany, and that is the season that follows as per the church calendar, which is also known as the liturgical year, which I've followed the past 3 years. My wife and I and some friends went to the Village Church in Dallas 3 years ago, and they gave us a book called Seasons. And so that book took us through this entire story of the church calendar, and that's when I learned more about the Advent, which Advent is the posture, as Pastor Dave mentioned last Sunday, of yearning, of expectancy, of longing, of celebratory even. And so now we transition into the Epiphany. Epiphany is the manifestation of Jesus Christ, and that is simply also known as the divine nature of God has been revealed, and the Savior of the world has been given and has dwelt among each and every one of us here today. That's what the Epiphany is, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And so the Epiphany, historically, the story of the three wise men is one of the three stories that draw us to the Epiphany. And so we'll be talking about that in the nativity scene. As we did last Sunday, as you saw on the screens, you noticed that the three wise men came from afar. We had little Jackson. We had little Luke and little, who was it? Santos' son. Felix, oh my gosh, fix it, Felix. Yes, those were the three wise men that were in our story. And I was told last Sunday, and to not to ruin the Christmas story, but the three wise men, did you know that they did not come to Jesus when he was born in a manger? But every nativity scene, even the cathedral on Fifth Avenue, as I saw a picture this past week, has the three wise men bowing down to Jesus when he's in the manger. And the reality is that I've learned, and I was told last Sunday, that story is wrong. It's theologically wrong. I was like, whoa, okay. Let's talk about that. And so I'm here to tell the church, man, these three wise men, and we're going to learn about that as we kind of go through Matthew chapter 2, how the three wise men traveled from afar, and it took them almost 2 years, if not 2 years, to get to Jesus as he was 2 years old. So hopefully I don't break these. I don't know what I intended to do with that. But we have Mary, baby Jesus in a manger, and this is the shepherd, Joseph. Okay, so we're missing the wise men and the rest of the folks, but that's okay. So that is the Epiphany, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And we just finished the season of Advent, as I just mentioned, and so we're going into the Epiphany. So I just read, so what now? So what now after Jesus has been born and has been given onto us? In Matthew 1, in verse 20, 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And then we start here with chapter 2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." So here we have the observations of who we're talking about. We're talking about King Herod. We know about Jesus being born in a manger, and now we're going to talk about King Herod. King Herod was Herod the Great. He ruled Israel and Judah, and he was appointed king of the Jews under the authority of Rome. He ruled firmly and at times ruthlessly, and even, it says, murdering his wife, his kids, several sons, and relatives. That's who King Herod was, and he was the ruler of Jerusalem. And so King Herod is one that you will read, even if you just kind of fast forward here really quick on chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men." Man, when I learned about King Herod, so you got King Herod, who is appointed the king of Rome, who's a murderer, who killed his sons and relatives, and sent out the scribes and the people to go and kill every child that was 2 years or under once he found out that he was tricked. That's wild. And then you have the three wise men, which at one point, I tend to have thought I was a wise man, but oftentimes I reflect King Herod, not because I'm a murderer, but that will unfold as the story moves on. So, and then you have the wise men, and then in other translations like the NIV or other Bible translations, they call them the Magi, okay? So you have wise men, the Magi, or kings, and there was a lot of debate that I read as I was trying to understand the story of the three wise men. Even John Calvin ended up in that debate, and he had his belief about the three kings, and actually said that he said there were not the three wise men, that there were not the three kings. Even though I have Hillsong, the three kings, the song, and I had to listen to that again and again, and I had to kind of just revert through all different types of songs from the three kings, and so then I was just confused, and I was just like, well, are they kings? Are they the wise men? Are they magis? Like, what is it? What's going on here? And so I got so stuck and fixated upon that, and said, wow, well, with the book of Matthew, Santos preached on Luke, the nativity scene in Luke, and Luke's account, he's very detailed and very precise with his story, but he failed to mention or did not mention the three wise men. And so I pick up in Matthew, and Matthew was very vague and just kind of like leaves you kind of asking more questions than answers. And I was like, okay, well, let me just learn about these wise men. So the Magi is an ancient word referring to pagan astrologers. When I thought of that, I thought of Ruel right away. I was like, let me call Ruel and let's get some feedback on that. So the three wise men, Magi, is an ancient word referring to pagan astrologers. And since they dabbled in the dark arts, we eventually got our English word magic from such Magi. They were a wide range of people whose practices included astrology. They were experts at astrology. There were dream interpretations. They studied of the sacred writings, the pursuit of wisdom and magic. They are not too far from what we would call sorcerers, a person who claims or is believed to have magic powers, a wizard. That's who these magis were, okay? So you have the magis, these sorcerers, these astrologers, and then the wizards, and then you have King Herod, who's a murderer, who killed his sons and ruled ruthlessly and had people go and kill everybody, all the children that were 2 years and younger. And so you have this contrast again, and I always find myself with these contrasts when I preach, but I love it. That's who we have here. And so what we do know is that these men are the first three men. So you guys with me? Three wise men. This is who they are: King Herod. And what we do know that these three wise men came and worshiped Jesus and were the first to have worshiped Jesus and bow at his feet, starting with the book of Matthew. And it continues from there. And you will see a record throughout the book of Matthew of all 28 chapters, several, like up to eight different passages that tell you how people came to Jesus and knelt before him. And so, as we read on Matthew 2:1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east come to Jerusalem. So, do we get, so we're just going to stop right there. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Behold is a word that calls for your attention. This is behold. Man, when I was worshiping, I kind of envisioned myself like running around the church and then coming through the in through back there and just screaming out, behold, wise men from the east have come to Jerusalem. And I just envisioned these wise men coming from the east. And then I even said, well, the east, like what part of this place is the east? And then there was a lot of debate on that too, and where the east was. And they came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So again, you have these three wise men saying, behold, where is this king of the Jews? Where is this God? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And so Matthew here, I believe, is trying to call our attention and saying, look, come, I need your attention here. Behold, why is it so astonishing? Why is it so shocking that these three wise men have come from the east to worship Jesus? And so I reflected there for a second. And I asked myself, man, this is before I knew when I was reading how far they traveled. Like, I didn't know. At this time, I didn't know how far they traveled yet. Like, I just knew that these three wise men have come from the east, coming in and saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And I remember, and I reflected, and I stopped and reflected on my story and my life when it took me back and God got my attention and said, behold. And I reflected back into where, when I came to know Jesus, and when I had that urgency to come and say, man, where is this king of the Jews? Where is this God that we're worshiping? You know, as you're coming into church and I see people coming in, and it's and I pray and hope that we come in here hungry and saying, where is this king of the Jews? Where is this God? Do you recall when you came to Jesus with that urgency? Do you recall that moment when you came to Jesus with that urgency? And how far did you travel? Man, I lived on 333 South Palm Avenue in Mercedes. And I traveled maybe just six blocks to Virginia Street to go and find out who is this king that Real Life is talking about, the Christian Missionary Alliance was talking about. This is 15 years ago, almost 16, 17 years ago. Hector was our youth pastor at that time. Do you remember when you worshiped him? Man, when I came to Jesus, I recall when I first came to know Jesus, it took me out of my selfishness, my pride, my pot smoking, beer drinking, getting drunk, and just kind of just living for myself and really was out to hurt people physically or emotionally. And that was what my life represented. And when I came to Jesus, man, I remember just going into my room. Well, first I remember going to church on Wednesday nights for youth, which we still have youth every Wednesday going forward at 7 o'clock. And I came in and I was going in there saying, well, who is this Jesus that Santos is talking about? And I came to know the Lord, and I would go to my house, and for almost like a year, man, my affections for the Lord, I knew very little about God. Hector would preach and preach, and I feared so much because I didn't want to go to hell. And so I gave myself to the Lord because I wanted to go to heaven, and I wanted to be in heaven. But I didn't know what it was going to take. In between that, I didn't know what this life and what this journey was going to look like. Man, and for that whole first year, I was in my room with my door closed and just on my face worshiping God and just crying and just an emotional wreck and just singing. I would just put these songs on repeat, and I was just worshiping God. It was nuts. And I asked myself, man, I have a hard time worshiping God like that today. I mean, just right now with the song, the King Like This. Gosh, man, I was weeping over there just saying, Lord, I want to worship you just with as of heart abandoned on my knees. Why do I have a hard time doing that? And so the story gets interesting, man, because. And then it says, on verse 2, where is this? Who is this? Who has been born King of the Jews? And it's, for we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And this whole star thing, man, it just like got me all, like, it took me everywhere. And the wise men what likely have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies. And this took me all the way to Numbers 24. This took me to Isaiah 60. This took me to Psalm 72, verse 10. It took me all the way to the Babylonians. It took me through all these prophecies that were prophesied in the Old Testament that I spent about 20 hours trying to study and understand. And then I was just so fixated on that. And I was like, man, I just need to get on with this whole story. I need to figure out, like, God, what is it that you're doing in my life? What is it that you want to do for in my life? What is it that you want to do for the church? And how am I going to spend these 20 hours and try to teach and educate everybody about these? And it's important, man, these prophecies that were prophesied, that even that Micah talks about, that we now read right now in the New Testament. And it's important to read the Old Testament with the New Testament and put it together. And it takes time. It takes you to set time apart to just understand all of this. And so I was so fixated on the stars and trying to understand the stars. And then I went into desiring God, and I put star on the search. And then John Piper says, over and over, the Bible baffles our curiosity about just how certain things happen. How did this star get to the Magi from the east to Jerusalem? And how did a star rest over the place where the child was? And the answer is, we do not know. And Piper encouraged the reader not to become so preoccupied on these theories that are only tentative in the end and have very little spiritual significance. And I said, okay, I'm done with this. Piper said this. I'm gonna just close this. I'm gonna maybe call it a well. I thought about calling it a well. I went on to desiring God, and I said, you know what? Bam! I'm gonna close the chapter that, and I want to focus on the holiness of God. I want to focus on the holiness of God. I want to focus on the sin that dwells within us. I want to focus on how we've been justified by faith alone. I want to focus on how these stories, we find our redemptive plan. We find our salvation through that and through this gospel and through the gospel of Matthew. And so I said, okay, well, okay, the star was there, and they saw the star. And so it's interesting here, can I just say, church, it's interesting that the star, that God used a star to lead the three wise men to worship Jesus. While you have King Herod here, who is the king of Rome. They live in Jerusalem, and yet they did not, you would assume or expect that King Herod would and his people would lead the three wise men to Jesus. But they didn't. It was a star. God used a star. And then I asked myself, well, man, that is awesome, man, that God would supernaturally use a star to lead these three wise men. And then this thought said, well, Abraham, who was your star? I said, man, God. And I spent a time just being thankful for Santos. And I texted him. I said, bro, I want to thank you for just telling me about Jesus and taking me to Wednesday nights at church at Real Life 17 years ago. And that caused me to pause. And so I asked Pilate yesterday, I said, man, who was your star? And he's like, well, my superstar is, and fill in the blank. I asked my wife, I was driving a couple, midweek, I said, sweetheart, who's your star? She's like, you are. Said, nice. And so who did God use in your life? I mean, just think about it. It's just simple, like just reflect on who God used in your life to draw you to the feet of Jesus. And be thankful for that person. Man, let's enter the new year and just be thankful. Send that person a text and just tell them, man, you know what? I love you, man. Thanks for drawing me to Jesus and taking me to the feet of Jesus. And I love that God used the star to lead these three wise men to Jesus. And so are we ourselves beholding his glory and leading people to him in all that we do? So for the believer, man, are we like King Herod? And are we just kind of here? We have all the theology. We have all the, I mean, we've taken POP classes. We've gone to Sunday school. We've been a part of church all our lives. Yet we're not leading anybody. Who are you leading? That's what God said. Abe, who are you leading? Who are you leading? And so I really had to think for this year, who have I been a star to? And so who are you being a star? How is God using you? And who is God leading? Who is God leading you to so that you can lead them to the feet of Jesus? And are you beholding his glory? And are we doing that as a church, as Real Life Community Church? Because people are coming from afar. Today, people are coming from their homes. They're coming from Mile 10. They're coming from Wessico. They're coming from Edinburgh. To come and see who is this King of the Jews? Who is this Lord? And it is our delight to take on the gospel and preach it and sing it so that people can go to worship Jesus. We're going to Willacy, and we've started that. Church multiplication. Making disciples. Lead one, find one, breeder, leader. All these different things that we're doing. And really, guys, man, have you seen Jesus? Have you beheld the glory of God? Behold the glory of God. You become what you behold. What have you been beholding this year? Is it God? And do we look more like God? We had an awesome opportunity at the Tea Ranch this past Sunday to invite the whole Rio Grande Valley to come out and to preach and sing the gospel so that people can come to worship Jesus. And this is interesting. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And it's interesting here that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. He asked them, right here, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where is the Christ to be born? And they knew the answer. Of course they will know the answer. Man, how many of us know the answer to half of the Bible or the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yet, these guys didn't react to that. They answered and said, well, they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. They answered the question, yet they did not go to worship Jesus. The three wise men did. They just hung out there, which is wild to me. Man, they know the answers and they told him, yet did not go. Man, the Magi knew very little. Gosh, these three wise men knew very little. Nonetheless, they took on a journey and worshiped him. Man, so here's a perfect reminder for all of us today. To today's modern day chief priest or a scribe, which I oftentimes find myself, and I had to confess that, where I can become really religious and I can read the word and understand it, yet not go and tell people about the good news. Bible knowledge from all the classes and all the books, as I mentioned, can be precious fuel for worshiping the true Jesus, but also can be a scary excuse to just stay arm's length away. You know, increased knowledge doesn't necessarily translate to increased worship. And man, in my house, I have a bunch of books, and I try to build my library and try to gain all this knowledge and understanding of the word, even coming here to church and trying to preach the word to you. And sometimes I get so fixated on all of that that I forget all about truly worshiping the King of Kings and falling at his feet. And I fail to lead people to that or talk about it. Man, I've taken Jesus for granted this year. And oftentimes I've sat and I got so busy with my chaotic world. I was so busy this December. I didn't wrap one gift. I didn't give one gift at all. Man, did I really live my life in love as Dave preached on the first bare essential of the birth of Christ, love? My wife did. My wife told me, man, sweetheart, you can do one thing for me next year is join me with this. I said, man, I failed. This whole month I've been trying to slow down and be on that posture of expectancy and longing and waiting for Jesus. Yet I lived in such a consumerism mindset, narcissism. And I failed to do that. So verse 7, and I'm going to try to finish here. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. That just was a lie. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, man, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Can we say that together? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I don't know about you guys, man. My wife just ran a 5K along with some other girls this past weekend. And it's just the 5K. What's that, 3 miles? Ain't no rejoicing the day after. You know that the three wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, which took months and months, we could say 2 years of traveling from afar. these foreigners coming from afar. Can you imagine how exhausted they could have been on camels, on through the plains, through the fields? And yet, and they get to Jerusalem, but then they still got to go 6 more miles to Bethlehem. 6 more miles. Let's go another 6 more miles after 2 more years. Let's go another 6 miles. Yet, behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Man, I'd be exhausted. I thought about my journey, my Christian life, 17 years of living and fighting to live for the glory of God every day of my life. And while I often fail, God's grace meets me. And I ask myself, man, am I rejoicing with great joy in my current season, in my current point in my life? And I really had to soul search there. The reaction of these wise men is significant. And this isn't the sort of satisfaction one has when completing a long journey, as I mentioned, or a walk or a run. Man, these wise men did not arrive at a time of Jesus' birth in a manger, but up to 2 years later when Jesus was living in the house, as mentioned. And remember, and as Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and they had to go 6 more miles. I've had to do a lot of walking by faith and not by sight, man, this whole journey. And remind myself to rejoice with great joy. And not that it means that I'm yelling and shouting and clapping and doing all of that. Rather that I have the comfort and the peace of God in my heart of who I am rooted in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. Mark Jones is a senior minister of Faith Vancouver Presbyterian Church. And he says, the only real and lasting source of true joy comes from beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So listen, guys, as we close, like the Magi, most of us, perhaps like myself, are outsiders. I didn't grow up in church. Man, I didn't want nothing to do with church. I did all my things at the sacraments at my church, Lady of Mercy, and I was really religious, and I was really happy to go and tell the priest my sins. Half of them were lies. And man, I really didn't know what it was like to be free and be liberated until I met Jesus himself, and where Jesus came and tore the veil, and I was able to have access, direct access. He was my mediator to go directly to God and just confess to God and just love him and talk with him and rejoice over him. The Epiphany narrative then invites us to stop and remember our salvation, but also calls us to take note from the wise men and drop everything for him. Sometimes I have a very narrow view of who can enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes at my work, I work at Armani, and I often think, well, there's no room for you, buddy. There's no room for you, not with how you act. And then I don't share the gospel, and I don't live as if the light is shining in my heart in dark places. And so how are you being the light? How are we, as believers, living for the glory of God and leading people to him to worship him? So the lesson is plain, man. God is guiding foreigners to Christ to worship him. Man, the astrologers are coming. These pagans are coming. Man, make room. This is something awesome that's happening here. So it's a time to establish a time of renewal for the believer, for all of us here, to recommit a life of faithfulness to Christ. And so the story starts with, behold,
the glory of God. Behold, who is this King of the Jews? Come and see. See who this God is. And then you have numerous chapters that tell you about Jesus, about people coming to Jesus. And then you finish with Matthew 28. Matthew 28. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And it tells you to go and tell all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Matthew 2, we have Matthew 1, the birth of Christ, and in Matthew 2, the three wise men coming to Jesus from afar, foreigners, astrologers, pagans, coming to worship Jesus. You have King Herod who should have led them to Jesus, but didn't. And they were religious, and God used a star to lead them to Jesus. And so now I want to challenge you for the new year to go into this this idea of go and tell, and let all nations know who he is.